The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Bamidbor.
Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai, ba'el ma'ed. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai by the Eil Ma'ed. This means that it's speaking, they were still in the desert of Sinai. They came to Midbar Sinai in Sivan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which incidentally is the next coming month. And they stayed there for 6 days till Matan Torah. They received the Torah, and then they stayed there. And afterwards, after Moshe went up to the mountain, and was there for 40 days, and then he came down and broke the tablets. Then he went up for another 40, and a third 40 days for the second tablets. He then came down and he built the Mishkan. And the majority of Sefer Vayikra spoke about the dinim of the Mishkan. At the end of Sefer Shmos, we learned about the actual building of the Mishkan. And then Vayikra, which was known as Tedus Kahanim, the laws of the Kahanim, refers to everything that was done in the Mishkan. Now, it was Be'echod L'Chedish Hasheni. It was the first of the second month, which would be Reish Chedish Iyar, B'Shona Hashenis L'Tzeisom Eretz Mitzrayim. But not the first year that they went out of Egypt, but the second year. This means that they stayed in the desert of Sinai all of this time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, Meisha Su'u Es Reish Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishpachesom L'Veis HaVeisom, that you should count all of the people of the B'nai Yisrael in accordance to the families that they come from. So Moshe counted the people, Reuven, who belonged to the tribe of Reuven, and who belonged to the tribe of Shimon, who belonged to the tribe of Yehuda, all of the Shvatim. Then the Torah tells us, in Perek Beis, Posuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Arein lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, Ishal diglei ve'esis leveis haveisom yachanu b'nei Yisrael. Every person, in accordance to his degel, and in accordance to the signs of this house, the house of his fathers, shall camp. Now that we're in the desert, and we have received the Torah, and we have built the Mishkan, now how shall we camp around the Mishkan, and how shall we march? So every person, and now that we have counted the people, and all accordance to their shvotim, to their particular tribes, ishal diglei, the word degel means a division, also means a flag. It basically means a division. Ishal digle, every man in accordance to his particular division and in accordance to the signs of the house of his fathers shall the sons of Israel camp. Mineged soviv le'el meid yachanu. And they shall camp around, soviv and neged. Soviv means around, neged means away, opposite. The Ohel Meid, the Mishkan, which was in the center. This means that the Mishkan was in the center, and all of Yisrael camped around it. And then the Torah goes into detail to tell us that there were four different divisions. There was a division in the east, and there was a division in the south, and there was a division in the west, and there was a division in the north. From the fact that it says neged, means not immediately around the Mishkan, but further away. And Rashi brings from the Chazal, Merochek mil. It should be the distance of a mil. A mil is alpaim amah, 2,000 amas, which is approximately 4,000 feet. So we're speaking of four-fifths of a mile, roughly a kilometer. they were this distance away from the Mishkan. Sheyuch lolove b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're only allowed to walk a certain distance out of the city, if there's no city. You can walk 2,000 amos. So therefore, they were to camp around the Mishkan, approximately less than a mile away. So they wouldn't be right next to the Mishkan, right next to the sanctuary, but still close enough that they could come on Shabbos. Why should they be close enough that they could come on Shabbos? Because, as the Torah tells us a little later on, the Moshe and Aaron and the sons of Aaron camped immediately around the Mishkan. And on Shabbos they would teach Torah. So the other people would all come to close by the Mishkan to hear the Divrei Torah. So therefore they should be not too far away that they can come on Shabbos. Now the Torah tells us a little further that Aaron had three sons. The descendants. There were three. And these were the Kahanim. And these were the Bnei Gershuni and Bnei Kos and the Bnei Merari. And each one, together with their families, camped on one side of the Mishkan. Mishpachas HaGershuni, Acharei HaMishkan Yachanu Yomo. The Gershuni, they camped on the west side of the Mishkan. Mishpachas Bnei Kohos, Yachnu Al Yerech HaMishkan Teimono. The Bnei Kohos, they camped on the south side of the Mishkan. Benosi Beis Av LeMishpachas Merori, Al Yerech HaMishkan Yachnu Tzfeino. And the Merori, they camped on the north side of the Mishkan. This means that the Mishkan itself was guarded on three sides by the families of the Kahanim. What was with the front of the Mishkan, the east of the Mishkan? Ba'achenim lifnei ha-Mishkan kedmo. And who camped directly in front of the Mishkan, which was the east? Lifnei ael mehid mizrocha, meishe ve'aren ubonot. Shemri mishmeres ha-migdosh, ve'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael ve'azor ha-korav yumos. Meisher and Aaron and his sons camped right in front of the Mishkan. So the Mishkan itself was guarded on all four sides by the Kahanim on three sides and Meisher and Aaron and their sons right in front of the Mishkan. This was directly around the Mishkan. Klal Yisrael camped further around the Mishkan, the distance of a mil, about 2,000 amas, approximately a little less than a mile. And also they were divided in four divisions, a division on each ruach, a division in each direction. What were these divisions? So the Torah tells us, one division was called Degel Machne Yehuda, the camp of Yehuda. Each division had three tribes. One was called Degel Machne Reuven, the campsite of Reuven. Degel Machne Ephraim, the campsite of Ephraim, and Degel Machne Don, the campsite of Don. The camp of Yehuda, which was made up of Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, they were Chaynim Kedmo Mizrocha, the Torah says. They camped to the east. The camp of Reuven, which was made up of Reuben, Shimon, and God, they camped Teimono to the south, Dorum. The camp of Ephraim, which was made up of Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin, they camped Yomo to the west. And the camp of Don, which was made up of Don, and Osher, and Naphtali, they camped Tzfona to the north. And then the Torah tells us that the way they camped, that's how they shall march. And this shall be their formation when they camp in the desert and when they march in the desert. And this formation was carried on throughout the 40 years in the desert till they came into Eretz Yisrael. This is what is known as Diglei HaMidbar, the formations of the Midbar. A great majority of Sefer Bamidbar, the Rishayim tell us, is not directly relevant to halachos, to any Jewish law that is practical today, because much of it tells us of what Klal Yisrael did in the Midbar. But still, there are many principles, important principles, and great knowledge that can be learned from this. Let's see some of the principles that can be learned from this formation this evening. The fact that Klal Yisrael were given these degolim, the sages point out, was a very, very great schus. The Medrash Tanchuma brings Medrash Tanchuma brings in Perek Yud Chiba Gedela Chive V'Akorish Borchu is Yisrael. A great love and endearment Akorish Borchu showed Yisrael Sho'oson Digolim Kemalachi Ashoris, when he gave Klal Yisrael their formation, their division, and their flags, like the Malachi Ashoris, like the angels which serve him. Kideshiu Nikorin b'nei Ruven la'atzmon u'b'nei Shimon la'atzmon. In order that each Shevet should be separate, each Shevet should be distinguished. So we see that not only is there a formation in this world, there's a formation in the upper worlds also. The Malochim, the angels which serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also have a specific formation, a specific division, where each one is posted in his campsite, in his particular Ruach, side of the universe, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give this to any other nation. He only gave this to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Chiba Gedola, he showed Klal Yisrael a great endearment by giving them these formations. And this is what is meant, the Medrash says in the Pasuk of Tehillim Chof, this is the Kapitel Lamnatzeach that we say every day in Shachris, Niranenu b'shuasecho u'v'sheim elakeinu nidgol, that I will sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to you for your praises, uv'shem Elokeinu Nidgol, and in the name of Hashem, Nidgol, which means the Degolim, we will divide ourselves into the formations which you gave us. And then the Medrash brings a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Hevi Ani al Beis HaYayin the Diglu Olai Havo. It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim Beis. Bring me to the house, Heviani, you have brought me to the house of wine. The Diglu Olai Havo, and you have brought great love upon me with your Degolim, by giving us this formation in the desert. The Medrash says an example of what this means. There was a wealthy man who had a great storehouse full of wine. Nichnas levodkei. One day he went in to examine it. Umotzei kula chemetz, and he found that it all turned into vinegar, it all soured. Bo lotzei islei mitecha oitzer. As he was leaving very disappointedly from his storehouse, motzei shom chovisachas. He found one barrel, the yain teiv, and it was good wine. Omar chovizu chaviva alai mikol oitzer. He said, this wine is more dear to me than any of the other wine that I have. Kach bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu eshibim umes.
Kodesh Baruch Hu created the 70 nations of the world. Umikulam leimotzo hano. And from all of them, he had no nachas. He had no nachas ruach. He had no enjoyment because they didn't listen to him. They didn't keep his mitzvahs. Ela b'Yisrael, except with Yisrael. Shneemar, as it states, hevi'ani hel beis hayin. I have brought you to the house of wine. The Medrash writes, yain is gematri shivim. The numerical value of the Hebrew word yain is 70. Elu shivim umais. So this represents the 70 nations of the world. I have brought evi'ani el beis hayin. I have brought myself to the house of wine, and umikulam layahav el Yisrael, and from all of these 70, I found only Yisrael. Shneemar v'diglo alai ava. So that's what the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech wrote. Heviani al beis hayin. I have brought myself to the house of wine, to the 70 nations. V'diglo alai ava, but only to me. Only to Klal Yisrael did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show this endearment. No one else. Because he found no nachas ruach from anyone else. And therefore he gave us these digolim, these formations. So the first principle we see, that the fact that Klal Yisrael had a specific camp, formation, for their maneuvers in the desert, this was a great schus. This was a matona, a specific present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a gift which the angels have and which only Klal Yisrael had in this world. Each one, he gave a specific direction. Rashi tells us that when it comes to the Mizroch, so the Torah says, Mizroch Kedmo. What does the east mean? Kedem. Kedem means front, because the Mizroch, the east, is the front of the world. Yomo, when it comes to the west, so there Rashi brings that's also referred to in places of the Torah, Ochor, because west is Yoma. Yoma refers to the sea which is west of Eretz Yisrael, and there are psukim which say Hoyam Ho'acharein. Ochor means the latter part. So that is the latter part of the world. There's the front of the world, and there's the part of the world which is the latter part of the world. Each direction has a specific, a very, very specific significance. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe, every malyukshu had its perfect order, and certainly every direction. Now, the four directions, Mizroch, just to give us a little insight into them, the word Mizroch comes from the word Zorach. Zorach means to shine, and that refers to the east, because in the east is where you have the Zrichas HaShemesh. The sun shines first in the east, and it's also referred to as Kedem, as Rashi brings, because Kedem means Kodem, in front. Just like when you make a castle, you have an outer part of the castle, the front of the castle, and then you have the inner part of the castle. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created an outer part and an inner part. And the outer part of the castle, the front, is the east. And that's why it's called Kedem. And that's why the first camp, Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun, camped in the east. The reason why this is the front of the world is because this is where the sun comes up. And the sun is the power in the world which controls the physical world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, so he gave the sun He entrusted the Son with the mission to be the physical king of the universe. And this is where the Son first makes its appearance, in the front. Therefore, the East is the front of the world. And therefore, the first campsite was on the East. Marov, which Rashi brings, is Ochor. This means the inner part of the world. This is called Marov from the word Arivas Hashemesh, Ma'ariv Arovim, which refers to the setting of the sun. Because the sun starts at the beginning of the world and sets near the end of the world. So therefore the west is the Arivas Hashemesh. What the word Marev actually means is a question. Many Rishonim learn that the word Ma'ariv comes from the word darkness, Erev. And since the sun sets, and therefore the darkness sets in, therefore that direction of the world is referred to as Ma'ariv. We find, though, in Lashon HaKodesh, that the word Ma'ariv, Erev, actually means to mix, Li'is'arev. From the word Li'is'arev, Taruvus. The Maral always learns that the reason why we find so many psukim where the word Erev refers to darkness is not because the word itself refers to darkness, but because this designates the mixture of light and dark. Because it's in, when the sun starts to set in the west, then there becomes a mixture of light and darkness comes into the world. So therefore the word Ma'ariv is from the word mixture. At any rate, that designates where the darkness starts to come, because the sun sets there, so designates the sun, that is the place where the sun is setting. And that's the inner part of the world. Therefore, it's called Ma'ariv or Ochor. By the Beis HaMikdash also, the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, the sanctuary, were set up in this order. Where when you walked in, you first came to the Mizrach. It was set up, Mimarav leMizrach. So the entrance was on the east side. And as you progressed, you walked from east to west. Dorom, the south side, I once many years ago saw in one of the, I believe it was in one of the Rishonim, but I don't remember where. It might have been a Gemara, but I think it was one of the Rishonim. Where the abode of the sun, according to the Chazal, the sun has an abode. The abode of the sun is in the south. And therefore the south is called Dorom, from the word Dor, Rom. That the Reimimus, the highest part of the physical world, Reim means high, is the sun. And he dwells there. Therefore the south is referred to as Dorom. Dorom, he who is Reimim on the physical world, dwells in the south. Tzafon, which is the north, this is called Tzafon because the Chazal tell us Tzafon comes from the word to conceal. The Chazal tell us there's a special significance with the north. It's of interest that later on the Yeshiva studied Namasechta Baba Basra, and later on in Peret LeYachbor the Gemara brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it like an aksadra. What is an aksadra? Aksadra is a building or a room which has three walls and one wall is open. This is an aksadra. So it was made for air or it was made for light. So when he created the world, He created it as an aksadra, where it has three walls and one wall is open. Which wall is open? So the Chazal tell us that's Sofen, the north side. That could be perhaps why it's also called Sofen. Maybe it's concealed because of that. Incidentally, the Rishayim tell us that it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because, with his name, the Yud and the He. He created both worlds. He created Olam Hazeh, this world, with the He, and Olam Habo, the next world, he created with the Yud. Now, the He is an aksadra. See, the He is drawn with three sides, has three walls. And therefore, he used the He and he made the world as an aksadra. So I'll tell us another reason why it's called Sofen. The Gemara tells us, also in Baba Basra there, that in the Tzofen, in the north, there is wealth, physical wealth. This is based also on a posuk in Bereishis. And physical wealth, this is the brocha. And the sages say that Eina brocha metsuya ela al mashe mechusa mina ayin. Brocha is found only by something which is concealed from the eye. This we've gone into at great length before when we gave a shir on Ein Hora not too long ago. So since there is the wealth, so then that must be a place of concealment. Therefore it's called Sofun, Tzofen, the north. It is concealed. Right, this gives us a little insight into the different directions and their names. Now, if each Shevet was designated a particular place where to stand and where to camp and where to march, so there's no doubt that this was his place. He identified and he related, see, with that particular place. And from here we see the perfect order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the world. The fact is, Rashi brings that it says, the pasuk that we quoted was that every person should camp in his particular division in accordance to the signs of his father's house. Now, this that it says that he should camp in a particular position, this we understand, because everyone was going to be designated a place, on the north, on the south, on the east, or the west. But what does it mean in accordance to the particular signs of his father's house? What signs? Where were their signs to their father's house? So the meaning of this is there's a dual meaning to this. One is what the Medrash brings. Also Medrash Tanhuma here. Bishosh Nifter Yaakov Avinu Min Olam. When Yaakov was dying, now we're going back to when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they were in Egypt. And during the time when Yosef was king, Parshas Vayechi, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, and Yaakov was dying, Omar Levono, v'shachafti im avaysai. I'm going to die, and my soul is going to return to where my fathers are. At that time he instructed his sons that they must carry him back to Eretz Yisrael and bury him there. He also instructed his sons how they should do it. He instructed them how he wanted the Levaya, how he wanted the funeral procession. He blessed all of his sons, and then he said, "Kishetit loisi biyire bekovet taloisi." When you carry me, you must carry me with great fear and honor. V'layiga odom acher b'mitosei, v'lay echod mina mitzrim, v'lay echod b'bneichem. No other person should touch my casket except you. He was speaking to his sons. No other person, no Egyptian, and no grandson. Because many of the sons had married Canaanites, and therefore he didn't want, Yaakov Avinu didn't want any of the grandsons to carry. And that's what it states, Vayasu Bonov Leikain. Vayisu Eisei Bonov, his sons carried him, and not his grandsons. And what? How did he command them? Yehuda v'Yisachar u'Zvulun yitanu mitosim min hamizrach. He said that Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun, you should carry my casket from the east side. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad yitanu min hadorim. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad from the south side. Don v'Osher and Naftali yitanu min hatzofen. Don Osher and Naftali from the north side. Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh yitanu min hamarav. And Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh from the west side. So he gave them each a place. Yosef al yitay. Yosef should not carry. Why? Shehu melech, because he's a king. Batem strichim lach leik lekoved. And if he's a king, you have to give him honor. Therefore, he shall not carry with you. But who should carry instead? Then his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Levi should not carry al yitay. Lomer shasin nisas orim, because Levi, his sons are going to carry the orim. The orim of the Mishkan. There, in there was the Sefer Torah and the tablets. Umi shetayin es areini shel chai haylomim layisay areini shel meis. And he who is destined to carry the orem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the essence of life, shall not carry the orem of a dead person. V'im tasu kein. So there were 12 sons that would carry. There were 12 tribes, but Ephraim and Manasseh were Keruven, Vishim, and Yuli. They were also counted amongst the tribes, the two sons of Yosef. Therefore, there were 14. Now, if we take out Yosef, because Yosef was represented by his two sons, and if we take out Levi, so then we have 12. Vim Tasu came, and he said, and if you will do this, Utantem es mitosi, and you will carry my casket in this manner, so Kishem Shitzivesi Eschem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osid Lahashreis Eschem Degolim Degolim. If you will do this the way I am commanding to you, then your reward will be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you such formations in the desert. Once he died, his sons carried him in this manner. As it states, Vayisu Yisrei Bonav Arzu Kanaan. Now the Medrash tells us, many years later, when Moshe came, Moshe was in the desert with Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, it's time to make the Golim. It's time to make a formation for Klal Yisrael. So Moshe said, how can I do it? He said, if I do it, I'm going to make Machlekes. There will be a tremendous tremendous quarreling. If I tell Yehuda that he should go to the east, he'll say he'll want the west. If I'll tell the one on the west that he should go to the west, he'll say he wants the east. How will I ever sort this all out? Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Ma ich besloch, heim einon srichin lecho bedover hazeh, shemei atzmein hein ma'akirin dirosom. They don't need you. You just tell them to go to their formation. They don't need you to tell you where to go. And they will go by themselves. L'mashet sivosi avihen v'yodom e'ach l'ishreis b'dagolim. Because they know where their father told them to go. It was tradition by them on which side of the Oren each son stood. So they will know that that is their place. So that is what is meant when it states, Ishal Diglay, everyone in accordance to his formation, the Aesis Levesa Voso, in accordance to the sign of his father's house. That's one meaning which the Torah is telling us.
A second meaning this has, that when they built the Mishkan in Sefer Vayikra, and they made the big day kohen godol, the garments for the high priest, like we learned not long ago. And one of the garments was the Cheshen Hamishpot, the breastplate. The breastplate had in it 12 different precious stones. Each stone was a different stone, and each stone was a different color. And each stone was representative of one of the Shvatim, one of the tribes, one of the sons. And at that time, Moshe was commanded as to each stone which tribe it represented. And on that stone was engraved the name of that tribe in the breastplate of the Kohen, Reuben, Shimon, Yehuda. So what also the Torah is teaching us, that Ishal Digle Be'esis Leveis Avosa, each man according to his formation, according to the signs of the house of his father, that each camp and each tribe had a flag. Not only did they have a formation, but they had a flag. And on the flag was the color of his particular stone that was in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest. So therefore the Torah is saying, every man should take his position. His position should be in accordance to the signs of his fathers. That means two things. In accordance to the position which Yaakov Avinu gave his father, when his fathers carried the casket of Yaakov Avinu, and in accordance to the signs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to their fathers to be engraved on their particular stone of the Cheshen HaMishpot, of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. That should be the sign, because they will make a flag, and the flag will have the color of the stone of his particular stone in the Cheshen HaMishpot, in the breastplate. Now from here we see many things. One principle we see, we get somewhat of an insight, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect order. He created a perfect order to the world. He created a perfect order to each direction, each side of the world. When Klal Yisrael were to camp and were to march, he wanted them to be in perfect order. Leveis Avosam, each one according to his father's traditions. He wanted all of Yehuda to be together with Yehuda, and all of Yisachar with Yisachar, and all of Zvulun with Zvulun. And he wanted each tribe to be in a particular position in accordance to the directions of the world. And that goes back here to Yaakov Avinu, where he stationed each son in a particular position. And he gave each son, each tribe, a banner. And that banner had the color of the stone which was designated for his tribe in the Cheshen Mishpot, the breastplate of the Kohen, which the Kohen Gadol would carry with him into the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see a perfect order. Plus we see the idea, the concept of formations, of regiments, and we see the concept of banners. Some people think that when it comes to a flag, it's something of the Umay Sa'ilam, it's of the nations of the world, it's a Goyeshazach. When it comes to marching, regiments, it's a Goyeshazach. Not true. It comes from the Malachi Ashoris. Because the source before Yaakov Avinu, the Medrash tells us, was this is how the angels march. This is their formation. V'diglu alai ava, that you gave to me a special love, which you gave to no other nation. And out of all of the 70 nations, Eviani el Beis Hayayin,
Wine stands for the 70 nations because it has a numerical value of 70, the Medrash says. And in the entire house of wine, of all of the 70 nations, diglu olai avo, you only gave to me the love, not to the other nations. And what love? That which you had given to the malachi ashoris, to the angels which serve you, because they also serve with a regiment, with marching, with a proper campsite, with a proper formation, and with a degel, with a banner. So we see it's not something from the Umay Sa'ilam. Not only that, but the Medrash tells us just to the contrary. If it's something that came from the angels and was given to Klal Yisrael, then it was given to Klal Yisrael, not to the other nations. So the Medrash tells us that it was from here that the kings of the nations learned to make flags and to make banners. Not like many people think, that this is something which belongs to the nations of the world, and it's a question if we should emulate it or not. But this HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, and it was from here, when they saw the great formations marching in the desert, and with all of these regiments and with all of these flags, they learned from here to make flags. So the source was from Klal Yisrael. Actually, it also states that when the nation saw the casket of Yaakov Avinu being carried through the desert and back up to Eretz Yisrael, and they saw the great honor that was being accorded to him, that here he was being carried by his 12 sons, and next was Yosef, who was the king, and next was Levi, and then all of the other families followed, and all of Mitzrayim followed. At first they wanted to make war, but after, when they saw that, they took their crowns off, states. They all took their crowns off, the kings of the nations, and they put it on the Oren. On the Oren of Yaakov Avinu, they placed their crowns. The important concept, one of the important concepts that we can learn from here, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a perfect order in the world. When he made the world, he made it with perfection. Perfection means something in a perfect order. If we look at the world, we can see this. If you look at the human body, you will find that the coordination of the body is perfect. The timing is perfect. And no man could create even 1/1,000,000th of the perfect coordination that is found in the body. When we look at the universe, it's unbelievable. The space scientists and astronauts were overwhelmed at the perfect precision of the entire universe. We're not referring now to something, to a watch. We're referring to something that encompasses billions of miles. And when they learned how to calculate with newly invented computers, and they could calculate at such amazing distances and such amazing equations and such amazing mathematics, they found out that the precision was perfect. There was never an error. There couldn't be an error. Now the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the universe, he placed the sun in charge of the Seder Ha'il, the precision of the world. And it's the sun that is realistically in charge, because the sun creates a magnetic field that holds everybody, every celestial being, in its perfect order. And he's the Melech, the Chazal tell us. He was made the Mor HaGodl, the great light. The sun also wanted to be a Mor HaGodl. The moon also wanted to be a great light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Memayit. He minimized the light of the moon because he said, Ein Shtei Melochim Mishtamshin Bekeser Echot. Two kings cannot serve under one crown. There can be only one king. So from here we see that he made the sun as its king, as the king to keep the order of the universe. And the king's responsibility is to keep order. Today we don't have many monarchs left. We have governments. So the governments are in place of the king. It's their responsibility to keep a perfect order. Therefore, it was the sun's responsibility to keep a perfect order in the universe. There cannot be one fallacy. Because if there would be, the Gemara brings in Baba Basra, if there would be one fallacy in the universe, in the galaxies, in the millions and billions and trillions of bodies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, this is what the Gemara brings. One fallacy, how minute it might be, this would bring destruction to the universe. We're speaking about things that are beyond our comprehension.
Is this what the Chachamim say?
Yes.
Both
say. Yeah. We're speaking of things which are beyond our comprehension. Scientists and astronomers, they understand these things, can understand these things better than we can. It's their field. But it's totally beyond our imagination. If scientists will say that one gland in the human body will pack in thousands times more precision than the best Swiss made watch, than the best computer made, so you can imagine what it is in the universe. And this is how the Maral is Mevare HaGemara at the end of Masechta Makkos. The Gemara says, Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. Resh Mem Ches, 248 mitzvahs essays, positive commandments. And Shasa, 300, Shin Samachay, 365, Leisa says, negative commandments. Resh Mem Ches, 248 positive commandments, which each one correlates with the 248 different parts of the human body. 365 negative commandments, which correlates to the 365 days of the year. Now we won't go into the part why the positive commandments are linked to the parts of the human body. But why are the negative commandments linked to the days of the year? Because the days of the year, this is the orbit of the sun. 365 days, this is the path of the sun. A negative commandment is Shomer Eseder Od. The negative commandment guards the order of man, because it tells him what not to do. If he will Every time he transgresses a negative commandment, he's yetzei chutz l'seder. He goes out of his order. If he takes something which is not his, the world was created where everyone should use what's his, not use what belongs to someone else. If he worships idolatry, this is yetzia, this is a deviation from the proper order, from the proper path of the human being, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. So the Shmiras HaLeisaser, the guardian of the negative commandments, this is the guardian of the order of Odom. They constitute the structure, the perfection, the path of man. Why do they number 365? Because 365 is what constitutes the path of the sun. 365 days is the orbit of the sun. After 365 days of movement, so the sun and the universe returns to where it was before. And it is the sun's responsibility, being made the king of the physical universe, to guard the order of the universe. Therefore, the negative commandments and the path of the sun unite with each other. Because their object is one, to guard the Seder, to guard the perfection of man. There's another very interesting maral, which gives us an idea of how much we must respect the perfection of the order of the universe. The Gemara says that Ein Meisichin Besuda. A person, while he's eating, should not speak. Why? Because Shema Yagdim Kona Leveshet. Because while he's speaking, so the food, instead of going down the food pipe, might go down the windpipe. And that could, heaven forbid, cause him to choke. So therefore, Ein Meisichin Besuda, a person should not speak while he eats. This is what the Gemara says. The Moral asks the Kasha. He says, we have a klal, a principle, that anadover rochek leichashin. Something very remote, we don't worry about. He says, it's very remote. That if someone is speaking while he's eating, there can be the possibility that he would bring danger to himself. Does happen. But people are speaking all of the time. How many times does it happen? We have to be cautious for sakona. When there's a danger, we must be very careful. Shmarta. But if it's very, very remote, then the Chazal say we don't have to worry. So this is something very remote. So he answers and he says that it's not that we're worried about sakona here. We're not worried about danger. Naturally, a person should not get all excited while he's chewing his food. That could bring danger. See? But that's not what we're worrying. The Chazal don't say there's a danger. It's bringing out a different point. If a person speaks while he eats, so then there is the possibility that the kono, the windpipe, might get in the way of the food pipe, and the food can become lodged there. So what do we see from here? You see that these are two functions of the human body which were not created to work simultaneously. If when a person would speak and he would eat, the food pipe and the windpipe could never become physically confused. So then we could see that these are two functions that were created to work simultaneously. But from the fact that it's possible that while speaking, so the function of the food pipe and the function of the windpipe will become physically confused. So we see that these are two functions that were not created to work simultaneously. So therefore we see that speaking while we're eating is not within the Seder HaOdom, is not within the perfect order of man. That's why the Chazal tell us, Ein Meisichim Besuda, that you should not speak while you're eating. Not that we're worried about the danger, but you're taking two functions that were not created to work simultaneously, and you are using them simultaneously, and in this way you are bringing man that was created in a perfect order out of his order. From here also we see the great endless depth of the perfect order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe and man, and how we have to be shamed, how we have to guard that order. So this is a little what we see from this parsha, that every shevet had an order, had a regiment, a division, and a direction. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. And with honor, with an honor guard, and with a flag. It's important for us to realize, amongst the many other things that we can learn from here, because being that we are products of the Golus and have been in exile for so many years, and were exiled from one country to the other, one of the great drawbacks of the Golus is that we soak up the atmosphere and the traits of the particular country that we live in, and then it's very difficult to distinguish and to define what is a midah from Torah and what is a midah not from Torah. Jews were in Russia, and they were in Spain, and they were in France, and they were in England, and they were in Germany, and they were in Hungary, and they were in Poland. So they soak up some of the Polish environment, and some of the German environment, and some of the English environment, and so forth and so on, and it becomes a great confusion. Many people feel that it's not necessary that there should be perfect perfection and perfect order. It's not necessary that there should be pomp and circumstance. That's not what we see from here. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu created perfect order. And when Yaakov Avinu had his Levaya, he wanted it in perfect order. Naturally it was order. Not order merely for the sake of superficial reasons. Order because the entire order of the universe was dependent on it. See, an order with a great depth. But this all goes into the perfection of the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We won't have time this evening to even superficially go through as to why everyone's position was where they were designated. But let's see if we can just make a few comments. The first shevet, the first camp was Yehuda, then was Yisrochar, and then was Zvulun. Why did they camp on the east? And why were they first? Yehuda was first because he was Melech. Yehuda was destined to become the king. And from him came kings, Dovid HaMelech, Shlema HaMelech, and all of the kings from Klal Yisrael, after the time of Dovid HaMelech, could come only from Yehuda. So therefore Yehuda was the Melech. A melech must always go first. Therefore he camped first. And therefore he camped in the east, because the east was the front of the world. And the melech must be in the front. He must march first. Next to Yehuda came Yisrochar. Why did Yisrochar come second? The Chazal tell us, because Yisrochar was the Keach of Torah. 200 Roshei Sanhedrias, 200 heads of courts came from Yisrochar. And when it came to be ma'abud ha'chodesh and neshona, when it came to calculate the calculations for the calendar, which was very, very complicated and dependent on a lot of astronomy, and no one could do it, they would come to Yisocha, who were called Yedei Bino, and they were able to do it. Chochmas HaTeira, they had wisdom of Torah. Therefore, they went immediately afterwards, because Teira must be first. We could ask the question, maybe Torah should go before the king? The Gemara in Masechta Horias and Avches that says that Torah comes, gets priority even before a melech. That's true when it comes to other priorities. But when it comes to marching and to leading, a king must lead. Because it's the king's responsibility to be in front. The Gemara says, HaMelech Peretz Geder. When a king walks, he's Peretz Geder. He has a right to break through fences. He doesn't follow the road. Because if you're following the road, even if you might be leading, you're not leading. The road is leading. You're following. A leader means someone who creates his own roads. Doesn't just go in this direction because the road goes in this direction. And the Malchus came from Yehuda. Yehuda had from Tomer two twins, Peretz and Zorach. And the Malchus came from Peretz. And he was called Peretz because Paratzto, he burst forth first. And that was the Midah, that's the trait of a king. The king must go first, the king must lead. We find that when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, choose a successor for me, do not leave, when he was dying, do not leave your sheep without a shepherd. So he said, choose someone that will go in front of them, out, and will bring them in, he will be in front. He says, Leike Malchia Uma, it's not like the kings of the nations that send their people out and they stay in the safety behind. But like I did, Moshe said, that when we went to war, I was in front. This is the midah of a king of Israel. So therefore, even though Torah always has first priority, the king must go first. It's for this reason that it tells the Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe, said that when Yaakov came down to Egypt, before arriving in Egypt, it states that he sent Vishalach Yehuda Geshna. He sent Yehuda into Geshen before they came, Leheires, to show the way. So the Chazal say to build the Beis Hayroah, to build the yeshiva. Yaakov didn't want to be in Egypt 1 minute without a yeshiva. This was the deed of Yaakov. You come to a new country, not you get settled and then you build. He says, first we build the yeshiva, then we'll come. So in the middle of the way, he sent Yehuda to go first to organize a Beis HaMedrash, to organize a yeshiva. So my Rebbe asked, he should have sent Yisachar. Yisachar was the power of Torah. Or he should have sent Levi. Levi also was the power of Torah. Why did he send Yehuda? Because to come into a land where there was no Torah, a new land, and to create something from new, there you need Keach HaMalchus. There you need the power of a king. So therefore he sent Yehuda. Yisachar came second, as we mentioned, because that's power of Torah. Zvulun came third. Why did Zvulun come third? The Chazal tell us that later on in Parshas Naso, these same formations were followed when they came to bring their sacrifices to anoint the new Mizbeach. And Reuven came with a complaint. Reuven said, I'm the Bechor, I'm the firstborn. I should go come first. All right, Yehuda, he lost the kingship to Yehuda. But why Yisachar and Zvulun? So the answer is because Torah comes first. And not only was Yisachar Torah, but Zvulun also was Torah. Where do we find Zvulun was Torah? Because they supported Yisachar. Chazal tell us that Zvulun, they were great merchants and great sailors, great business people, and they lived on the shores of the sea where they did business. Yisachar were Balei Torah. They had great minds and they loved to learn. Yodei Bina. So Zvulun and Yisachar, the two brothers, they came together and they each had a problem. They said, if we learn, where will we get our physical sustenance from? And Zvulun said, if we go out to sea, when will we have time to learn? So they made a partnership. They said, we will go out to sea and we will make business. And you sit in the tents of Torah. And half of what we earn we'll give to you. And half of what you earn, all of your reward that you will have for Torah, you give to us. So they made a deal. Therefore, Moshe said when he blessed them, Yismach Zvulun b'tzeisecho, v'yisocher b'ayelecho. That Zvulun rejoice when you go to sea. Because not that you're making business for this world, you're making business for the next world too. And Yisoch, because Yisochar b'ayalecha, Yisochar is in the tents of Torah learning for you also. So therefore, first came the king, then came Torah, and in Torah was two, Yisochar and Zvulun, the two shufim. The Chofetz Chaim Zochein L'Vroch in the Sefer Avas Chesed, he brings that when it comes to tztokah, giving tztokah, so the Gemara gives a limitation. You shouldn't give more than a fifth of all you have when it comes to tztokah, unless you're an Oshim Muflug, unless you're a very, very wealthy person, or under special circumstances. So Chofetz Chaim brings in Perek Esri, the 20th Perek of Avos Chesed, he said that only refers to tztokah, to helping out poor and needy. But if it's coming to support Torah, he says there's no shir, there's no limitation. Because that's not tztokah, that's not charity. He says that's a partnership. And he brings from this Yisachar and Zvulun. And you see, there you get, they give half. He says in a partnership you can give what you want. If you're helping out others, the needy, right, that's tztokah and there's a limitation. But if you are helping someone to learn, so this is a partnership. You own half of his Torah, or you own whatever portion of Torah that you're helping him with. So he says, then therefore there's no shir. And he brings these midrashim. He brings that shikashem shayel zvulin chelik b'schater osa kacho yisocha chelik b'mameneshul zvulin. He brings these midrashim that we're mentioning. And therefore he says another thing. He says, so therefore when it comes to supporting Torah, or yeshivas, or representatives of Torah, he says, if a person comes, mashulach comes from a yeshiva. He says, unfortunately, speaking in his times, he says, there are some people who are mechusredeya, they don't have seichel, and they look arrogant at the mashulach, like I'm doing him a favor and giving him a little money. He says, what would happen if you had a business partner, and you invested heavy sums together with your business partner, and he went a long way to do business. When you hear he's in town, what would you do? You couldn't wait to see him. You want to know what's happening. What's happening with the investment? You would throw the door wide open for him and throw your arms around him and sit him down. He says, when someone's coming representing Torah, he says, if you are a partner, if you're an investor, he's your partner. He says, that's how you must be makabel, how you must accept someone who comes, who is raising money to support Torah. There's much more to speak about, but I'm sorry, I think the time is getting late. So I think we'll have to close here.
Rabbi Zacuta gave Columbus his chart to discover America, and he gave his chart to Vasco da Gama. Therefore, this Yisachar would mean that Yisachar gave more than a lot of the theory, the application, gave the intellectual, mathematical side.
Very possible, very possible. Mr. Briskman, our guest from London, saying it's possible that Yisachar, since they were such great astronomers, they also helped Yisachar do business when they went out to sea.
The
navigation. Very possible. Just one final note, and that is that the Chazal tell us that in the formation signified the Achdus, the singleness of Yaakov Avinu. Because since everyone camped in the particular direction where his father stood when they carried the Orem, the casket of Yaakov Avinu, so here in the formations, each Shevet was aligned with how he came from Yaakov Avinu. And this represented the singleness of Yaakov, which represented the singleness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it was Yaakov who was the last of the Oves that perfected and united all of the power of the Oves, of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And it was through Yaakov that all of the brachas came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of the tribes, these were all of the brachas of Yaakov. So therefore, when they marched in this formation, it wasn't just an order, it wasn't just a division, it wasn't just something that looked nice. This represented the achdus, the singleness, how Klal Yisrael identified and united themselves with their father Yaakov, and therefore how they united themselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the great honor that was given to them in the Midbar, in the desert, which seems to be the formations of the Malachi Ashoris, of the angels which serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this gives us an insight into a very few of the great secrets that are withheld in this wisdom. We should be zeche to see the honor and the beauty of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.